peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
Wisdom is a gift from God, available to all who seek it and apply it in their lives. Many think that by doing some course or reading books, or because of our age, that we have all the wisdom we need. Is that really true? Well, today on The Level, Pastor Pancho will be addressing this subject as we take a look at the account of Abigail and Nabal in 1 Samuel 25. We'll be learning today that Nabal was the man who trusted in the wisdom of this world rather than in God, whereas Abigail, she trusted in the wisdom of God. We all need an Abigail in our lives, as Pastor Pancho will address in 1 Samuel 25 on this edition of On the Level Radio, coming up next.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right.
Now with today's program, here's Pastor Pancho.
Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. How many were not here last week? Just out of curiosity, you were not here. Okay. Let me catch up to speed in a very abbreviated way, or if not, you can go onto our website and catch 24. But needless to say, David is running away, still from King Saul. King Saul is a defected king. King Saul has been rejected and dejected by God. But he still sits on the throne, even though he has no anointing of God. He's madman. He's crazy. He's a murderer now. He has no moral values. And so he's going after King David. Well, in chapter 24, as he was going after King David in a place called En-Gedi, the Bible says that Saul went to a cave to take care of his needs. And while he went in the cave, lo and behold, David and his men were also hiding in the cave. And there was an opportunity for David to finally kill his enemy. But the Bible tells us that David experienced something that happened to him. And it happened to him, and he says that in verse 6 and verse 10 and verse 13 of chapter 24. Basically, he said that the Lord gave him a conviction not to kill him. And so he spares Saul's life. And David, according to verse 8, he shows extreme humility and respect and honor for the dysfunctional, wayward King Saul. And according to verse 12, David says, look it, I can't kill you. Only the Lord can do that. Let the Lord judge us and let the Lord avenge me on you. And then Saul realizes his stupidity. He realizes his mistake and admits it, that David indeed is a better man than he is. And in verse 20, King Saul then recognizes and acknowledges that David will certainly be the reigning king of Israel. So he seeks a vow or an oath from King David in chapter 24, and that is found in verse 21 of chapter 24. Two things. Number one, he says, swear to me by the Lord that when that happens, when you become king, you will not kill my family. And secondly, you will not destroy my line of descendants. The chapter closes with verse 22, by David making a vow and returning, Saul returns home to Gibeah, and David and his 600 men, they go up into the fortress. It believed is none other than Masada. Masada, before it became King Herod's Masada, it was a fortress to get away from any pursuing enemies. He still did not trust Saul, so they're on the run. So chapter 25 begins with verse 1 with the death of Samuel. Samuel the prophet, and an era changes. Samuel was a judge in the era of the judges, but manifested in 1 Samuel. And so thus he became the last prophet and the last judge. And so as he dies, there's a national mourning. What takes place after verse 1 has nothing to do with the death of Saul. The narrator of chapter of 1 Samuel is letting us know that the great prophet of God, Samuel, died. And it is a pivotal point because according to chapter 3 of the book of Acts, verse 4, and that's the end of an era, and then different prophets come in. So he dies. They take him home to Ramah. They bury him. The nation laments. And then David continues with his 600 men in the wilderness, if I may. Just to give you a little visual. There you see, for those of you that can't see, that right where the star is at, that is Carmel. And the reason I want to point this out, how many have been to Israel? Keep your hands up. How many have been to Carmel? No, you didn't. You didn't go to Carmel. We went to Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel is up by Haifa, over here by Lebanon, by the Mediterranean Sea. We all went to Mount Carmel. That's where Elijah had the big showdown with the priests. And that's Mount Carmel. What the Carmel we're talking about is right here. It's west of the Dead Sea. And right here, you see, right there, you see Masada is right here. And right to the right of the star is right here, is En Gedi. This is the area that David is running around. And the reason he's over here, because he is hiding in a stronghold, protecting himself, because he still does not trust Saul. And is validated because Saul will come back again in chapter 26. Now, I shared last week, I was excited with you. I shared with this service. I said, next week is about witchcraft, brujería, santería, and chinchería. That's everything's going to happen today. Well, I was wrong. See, I'm already reading ahead. That's chapter 27 when Saul goes and sees a witch. And so he has a seance. And so as of late, there's some young people being featured on television. Young people, they speak to the dead. Anybody seen that program? And if you're familiar with it, I tell you this 100% what the Bible says is diabolical. It's satanic. You cannot speak to the dead. The dead do not speak back to us. And so that's old stuff. It's called necromancy. A necromancer is someone that's able to call up the dead and the spirit and so forth, but it's not of God. And that's chapter 27. So if you have friends that are all into cards and to the witchcraft, santeria, and all that other stuff, that's a good time to invite them. It'll blow their mind. And so that's 27. Here in chapter 25, though, David is still running around. And you'll see in a moment. Let's read. Verse 1. Then Samuel died, and the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him. And they buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran, or the wilderness of Maon. Verse 2. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very wealthy, very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was, I can't pronounce that word, shearing his sheep in Carmel. What does that mean? The sheep were getting a haircut. They were getting fleece. The name of the man was Nabal, which means goofy, bald, fool, or stupid. And the name of his wife was Abigail, which means my father is joy. And notice the difference. She was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. So now we get introduced to a story. We are introduced now to Nabal. Nabal literally means fool or stupid. I don't think his parents decided to call him at birth. I think we're going to call him stupid. Fool. I don't think that was the case. Many believe that was a nickname, a sobriquet, if I may, a moniker that he earned because he was cheap, he was a miser, he was cruel, he's a villain. And the English word that is used here is a scoundrel. More of that in a minute. But there's a big difference between him and also Abigail. There are 44 verses in chapter 25. Out of the 44 verses, 22 verses mention Abigail. So Abigail basically is the one this feature. I've entitled my message, "We All Need an Abigail in Our Lives." That is the title of my message. We all need an Abigail in our lives. You'll see in a moment, because Abigail is, her character is pristine. Not only is she hot, she's hot, but she's smart. She's very sensitive. She is sweet, radiant, attentive, humble. You'll see in a moment the features. So we're told in verse 4, when David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So what does that mean to us, shearing the sheep? Well, how many sheep does he have? According to verse 2, he has 3,000 sheep. To give you a visual, the picture you see in front of you, that's only like around maybe 300, 400 sheep. So think of 3,000. And someone has to shave them. Someone has to shear the wool. And they don't have electricity. They're not clippers. Everything has to be done by hand. But what is the meaning of it? Sheep shearing in ancient Israel was a significant celebration characterized by festive feasting, heavy drinking, and the settling of all scores. Sheep shearing became an ideal setting involving the repayment of debts or the righting of wrongs, but it was also a time of generosity. For example, on harvests, when the people would collect the harvest, they would have a feast at the harvest because they have food for the next 6 months. So it was a time of festivity. It was a time of celebration. It was a time of family. Think it on a small scale, Thanksgiving Day. And Thanksgiving Day, everyone eats, everyone's merry, and everybody's appreciative that there's food on the table. And so it is that kind of festive mood. And also in the version of the harvest of the wine, there's a feast called the vintage feast. That's when they're making the wine and they have enough wine for the whole year, and they have a very festive time. Sheep shearing is a time when the wool is going to be sold, and some of those animals are going to be part of their food. So it's a big time celebration. So David says, Nabal is rich, he has money, he's shearing the sheep, so no doubt there's a party going on. It's a time of brotherhood. It's a time of generosity. So David sends a diplomatic delegation of 10 men to go up to Nabal and to ask him for the hookup, meaning whatever you have, any extra food, any extra bread, would you please give it to us? And how Nabal responds to David, you're going to see that it's unlike David. You see, in David, in chapter 24, he's humble. He bows down. He calls Saul, my father, you know, my Lord. He's very attentive. He's very dignified. He controls himself. He said, revenge belongs to the Lord. I will not touch my God's anointed. And he seems so wonderful. In chapter 25, he goes all gangster, thug. When he gets disrespected, he goes ballistic. And you see that David changes. What I like about the Bible, friends, a lot of people believe that the Bible is full of stories of just nothing but sweetness and character. They're so nice. The Bible tells us truth. There is murder. There's backstab. There's intrigue. There's rape. There's divorce. There's beheadings. The characters, sometimes they're weird. They're malicious. They're murders. So the Bible tells it the way it is. David begins now to disengage from his character. For whatever reason is happening, David all of a sudden reacts in a violent way. And when he gets disrespected, he has 600 men. And he takes 400 men to go and kill Nabal. That's like getting a shotgun for a cockroach. What would you want to do that for? He's angry. And then he's so angry that he puts a curse upon him. He says, curses me if I don't kill every male that belongs to Nabal. So he was very upset. In the meantime, one of the servants of Nabal goes behind Nabal's back and talks to Abigail. Abigail, your husband, as you know, he's a jerk. He doesn't understand. He doesn't take any opinion from anybody. He doesn't want to hear from anybody. And I'm sure he won't hear from you. But we're in trouble. David is coming with 400 men, and we're all going to get jacked by him, all of us. Abigail takes control. And you see that Abigail takes charge. And Abigail sends gifts to David to pacify him. And then she gets on her own mount and goes and meets David halfway. And there she has a dialogue with David. The dialogue begins in verse 24 all the way to verse 31. That dialogue changes the life of David. I mean, she enlightens David. She warns David. Abigail is a type of the Holy Spirit. David is out of control. Now, I don't know about you. I told the first service, I was saying, we. And I felt that, man, it's not we. Maybe you don't get angry. I know you're a Christian. You never get angry. You know, I don't know why you're laughing. Why are you laughing? I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm embarrassed. Some of the things I say, some of the things that I do, I'm embarrassed of some of the way I behave and some of my assessment and some of the things that I respond to. I regret very bad. There are times when I don't feel like I should be a pastor, and like every Monday, like I think about just resigning. I don't want to be a pastor no more. And thoughts come like that because I said, I'm no good. I'm no good. But the Bible says, I'm no good. The Bible says, you're not good. And the propensity is for us, when we behave like David here, all of us, not all of you, but me, I have the propensity at times to be angry, especially in California. Last week, Wednesday, I was going home. I got on the freeway. A driver right here, AMPM, right over in this Lawson, a knucklehead, a bonehead traffic move. He got into traffic. It was stupefied. He could have got people hurt. It was stupid. And I got close to him. And, you know, I'm not dumb. If it's bigger than me, I'll keep my mouth shut. I know. I'm not a gangster. If it was bigger, I would just say, I would shake my head like you're stupid, you know. But I sized him up, and he was a paisa like my size. And I was about to say, dude, what's up with that? And the guy rolled down his window, and he went like this. Right? He went like this. How can you get angry? He made a mistake. And he said, I know, man. You're angry. And in 3 seconds, your whole emotion has to change. And you have to put a smile. It's all right. He admitted his wrong. But there are people who don't admit they're ever wrong. Nabal is that kind of man. Nabal, no one can speak to him. The only English word they're able to muster to describe him is a scoundrel. That's an English word, scoundrel. In Spanish, we call him sinvergüenza. But that doesn't match. Sinvergüenza means without shame. But it's not scoundrel. What is the English word scoundrel? And in fact, it's not really the English word that describes him. It describes him as a son of Belial, a son of Satan, a son of hell. And so here's the situation. So it's sheep shearing. I got to be careful. Sheep shearing. Got to be careful. Sheep shearing time. So we meet Nabal. Nabal is very wealthy. Very wealthy by those standards. And to give you just a little, because see, we're civilized people. We don't live with sheep. We don't understand that. But sheep have to be shaved. They have to be sheared. Most sheep, for the most part, they shed yearly, automatically, you know. But this is a Merino, M-E-R-I-N-O, sheep. They're from Australia, New Zealand. Well, Shrek, that's the name it was given to the sheep, because this sheep escaped the pen and hid in a cave for 6 years. She had over 65 pounds of wool, enough to make 6 suits for a man, large men. When they found Shrek, he couldn't even walk. And his master couldn't recognize him. So she became national news like 3-4 years ago. Anybody remember Shrek? Anybody remember Shrek? Oh, see? And poor Shrek, she couldn't even walk. All you could see is nostrils. She was so heavy. She couldn't even walk. If she would have fell down, or he, forgive me, Shrek would have been Shrek'd out. And so, shearers, our experience. When you have shepherds and shearers, there are two vocations. Shepherds guide and take care of the sheep. Shearer, notice what he's using. He's not using any electrical implement. He's using what they used to use in the old days, in the ancient days, by hand. And there was a particular skill for that because you didn't want to just shave it like doing a haircut. You wanted to get as much as a skin whole as possible. And so that's what they did to Shrek. And so it was big. It was national news in New Zealand. The whole national viewers in New Zealand were watching because they liked sheep in New Zealand. And they were watching this phenomena. And so, and there's my little Shrek. And finally, Shrek, he's all messed up now. You see, now you have an image. Now you have an image imagine, 3,000 of these by hand. At the end, it's a huge celebration, especially for the shearers, because their hand, you know, hey, how you doing? Are you a shearer? Hey, how do you know, eh? Because for 3,000 of them, it's a time of celebration. And so we'll meet Abigail. We'll leave that there. So we'll leave that there. So here's what happens. So verse 4. So when David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. Now you know, right? Celebration, fraternal offering, and there's gifting, and there's partying, and there's feasting, there's drinking. David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. An ambassador are people, men and women, who represent a certain government. Like in Japan, Caroline Kennedy, she's the ambassador of Japan. So she represents the United States name in Japan. So 10 men go to represent King David. Now, David is not some fly-by-night goofy guy. David is a hero. He's a national hero. He's a protector of the land. People know that he is a warrior, that he's a man of God, a man of truth. And now he has 600 men with him. And these men are not just men. These men are all desperate men. These are men who are learning the art of war. And they're very powerful now. 600 men. These men have to eat. It's almost like a company, 600 men. They have to eat. So with 600 men, they can go and rob people. They can take the sheep from people. But they don't do that because David is a man of honor. He's a man that represents the Lord. And so we are told that he sends a delegation of 10 men. Verse 6, and thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have, what do you have? Shepherds or shearers? Shearers. So that means as an indication, party time. Your shepherds were with us, he said, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. In fact, ask your young men, and they will tell you, therefore let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David. So when David's young men came and spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and they waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is this son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each from their own master. Shall I then take my bread, my water, my meat that I've killed for my shearers and then give it to men whom I don't even know where they're from? So David's young men turned their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words.
We all need Abigail's in our lives. That's the title of the lesson that Pastor Pancho has given the lesson today as we've been exploring in 1 Samuel 25. There's still much more to learn in our series of studies in 1 Samuel, which we'll reserve on our next program of On the Level, and I hope you can join us then. Now, to listen to this teaching again, you can simply subscribe to our podcast via iTunes by simply going to our official website, thearkmontebello.com. That's thearkmontebello.com. Locate the page that's labeled Listen Watch Page, and you'll find the links that will direct you to our podcast. Simply go to our official website at thearkmontebello.com. All this can be found on our website at thearkmontebello.com. And if you care to leave us a note, you can do so by simply going to our contact page, and you'll find the contact form is available there. Again, simply go to our website for all the information at thearkmontebello.com. Thearkmontebello.com. And then make it a point to join us for another edition of On the Level Radio with Pastor Patrick Levitt.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. 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 It's gonna be alright.
Today's program is brought to you by the Ark Montebello in California.